Christy and Bodge. On the Mid-North Coast's Hit.
So past six on Hit and Christy and Bodge for Harvey Norman, Port Macquarie on this Friday morning.
Friday, it's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
Whatever happened to her?
I don't know. Didn't she
Rebecca
get hotter?
Black?
Huh? Didn't she get hotter? Weren't we only celebrating like a decade ago where that song was released?
She was about 14 when the song came out, so, I mean...
She's definitely hotter than now.
I wouldn't say she was hot then, because it's weird.
She's matured and now looks like a woman from a child.
I don't know. Who cares? Anyway, look, big show today, I hope.
No, it's a decent show. You should know what we've been getting
up to. No, we got great music coming up. I know we got great music. That's the important thing.
Well, look, what I'm going to tell you next, though, is something that I learned on the world of TikTok.
Oh, God. All right, well,
I blame you for this because you made me download the app and put it on my phone. Wake up.
Get up with Christy and Budge on the Mid-North Coast's Hit FM.
I'm going to start an episode of The Things I Learned Thanks to the World of TikTok because you made me download the app and put it on my phone so we could create one. Not that we've done anything on our own Hit Mid-North Coast TikTok. No followers, no content.
Okay, let's just put this into a little bit. We add some context to this. I was hassled a month or two ago by you and our promotions director, Taylor.
Oh, we should make a TikTok. Everyone else is doing it. Oh, my God. It's so funny. But you'd be funny if you did one of the dances. And I said, no.
And I berated you all. I said, it is childish. I don't want to get involved. It's stupid. And what happened? What happened? I made a TikTok to see what all the fuss was about because I'm an innovator and I'm an entertainer of sorts when I'm not being a grumpy old git. And I thought, I'll go on there and have a look. Within a day, I had about, I think it was nearly 500 followers. And I'd only put like four videos up and it was just videos of different animals that I love.
Yep. So
and
you boycotted the idea and
you, no, hang on, wait.
And then I gave up on pushing for it. Doesn't matter, we're not going to have an argument about TikTok because this is a new thing that I want to do.
You want to do it, but you were forced to do it.
No, I want to talk about the things that you can learn thanks to TikTok. Are you going to listen to me?
Of course I'm going to listen to you.
Because this is a fun little game.
Okay, go on.
So this is something we can all do right now. So whether you're standing here arguing like Bodge, if you're laying in your bed or you're driving, I want you to lick the roof of your mouth. Lick it.
Okay, done.
Is it smooth or is there a bump there at the top?
What do you mean?
As in, does it feel flat or does it feel like there's a bump protruding out?
No, it's flat. It's nice and smooth.
Okay, just open it for me. I just want to check yours. Not that you can open your mouth very much.
You can't even see from that far away.
I've got good cunning eyes.
You do not.
So if there's a bump, well, it turns out you're part of a rare group of people that have it. It's called the torus palatinus.
Sounds like a load of bull.
It's not. It's a real thing. And some cheeky babe on TikTok put the question out there and then provided us with some research. About 20 to 30% of people have this bump on the roof of their mouth. Again, lick it, and if it's flat, well, you don't have it. But if you do have a bump, or you can actually see it when you look in a mirror, and it's about 2 centimetres long, well, you've got a torus palatinus. Researchers aren't sure what it actually causes it, but possible causes is diet. And it tends to be in countries where people have a whole lot of saltwater fish, so like Japan, Norway, Croatia. And I don't know why Australia doesn't appear on there, because we eat a lot of salty seafood.
I know a lot of people that eat a lot of salty foods.
And the other cause, if you're a teeth clencher or grinder, there's a lot of people out there that grind their teeth when they're sleeping. So that could cause it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't do it anymore, but that's probably thanks to my Invisalign, to be honest. My Invisalign stopped me doing it. But no, I don't have it. Is it important to have it?
No, it's not going to do you
have
any
you got
harm.
It?
No, I don't have it. So I'm not a rare type of breed out there that's got the torus palatinus. But yes.
Who looks in their mouth and goes, oh, I've got a bump there. Have you got a bump there? You haven't got a bump there?
Telling me because you can get it later in life. It doesn't mean you have to be born with it. Clearly it's diet and teeth clenching that cause it.
Actually, can you poke your tongue out far? Can you do that for me? Yeah, I can't do that.
I can only poke tongue.
No, I can only poke it a little bit because mine's connected underneath.
Oh, with a little...
Yeah.
A little bit, or whatever it's called.
I've wondered about going to my doctor to see if I can get that cut. Will it hurt? Because I want to poke my tongue out the whole way.
See?
A lot of activities.
No, I don't want to go into detail as to why you want to poke your tongue out.
When I have an ice cream, Christy, I want to be able to give it a damn good licking, all right? Because I like that activity. I like having an ice cream. And I know the ice cream enjoys it as well. So with my tongue the way it is and it being connected underneath, don't look away. Look at me. Look me in the eyes, all right? When the ice cream is my hands and I need to finish it quickly, right? Oh, it takes me a lot longer because I can't poke my tongue out too much and I can't move it in a rigorous way because it hurts underneath. So, I'm just telling you, I've got a tongue problem.
I was talking about the roof of the mouth and you took it another way.
No, I'm just...
The Mid-North Coast Gets Up with Christy and Budge.
On Hit FM. Hey, I've got a penguin story for you, Budgie.
Oh, my God, I've got a penguin. How do you have a penguin story and I've got a penguin story?
It must be the thing.
This is
penguins.
This is the problem with me getting here at about 5 to 6. We're meant to talk about what we're going to do this morning. And awesome, I've got a penguin story and I was waiting to see when it was right to sort of just go, I'll tell you this story.
Well, I'll tell you my penguin story first. Right. But
show me yours. I'll show you mine.
It does come with a distressed warning, though, a distressing warning. There's a video that's come out of Victoria. And you know it's bad when it's been deleted once before.
Oh.
Yeah, and we know it never disappears because people always manage to have it resurface after they make copies.
Sure.
But the original uploader of this had reposted the video. So in this particular case, you know this person has clearly created the content and just for laughs and doesn't have a brain at all.
Right.
Because this guy was on a beach with his golden retriever having a casual little walk and the pup goes on up to the edge of the waves and picks up a tiny little fairy penguin.
Right.
Yeah. So it was videoed, actually, and it's not the fact that the dog picked up the penguin that's got people disgusted.
Because animals sometimes care about other animals, and that's why they sort of pick them up and take them and stuff like that, surely. Is that the case?
No. So in this instance, the penguin... It looks like he was already dead and he was washed up on shore. Oh. So the dog's instinct is to pick up the doggy. So the doggy pick up the penguin.
They don't know what it is. They probably think it's the same thing.
Yeah. So why people are so outraged is because the way the guy reacted.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the way he reacted. So have a listen to this.
Get away from it. Get away from the penguin.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, he's laughing at it.
The adult male doesn't realise that the puppuccino can't speak human, and what he's done there is he's attempted to tell him to put the penguin down.
Yeah, one word is what you need to use, which is drop. So the dog knows to drop the damn thing.
I didn't even do that. I go, what's in your mouth?
So, look, the puppy... I know it's going to act on its instinct, but this is what gets me annoyed. Old mate that shared it on TikTok said, my puppy thinks it's funny to catch penguins. TikTok deleted it.
Oh.
Hence why he reposted it. So.
Okay, so he's reposted it, but I don't think there was any malice to it. You don't see it like horrible graphic.
No. He's just, obviously the pup's just going to drag it up the beach and have a little play with it because he doesn't know otherwise. It's a nice little stand. He's thinking, here's some food.
We had a cat growing up called Bowie that used to come in and bring dead birds in. I mean, I think we filmed that one time just to go look at him prancing in with his dead bird like it's a trophy.
Yeah. So as I said, if you look at the video closely, you think the penguin is dead before the dog went and picked it up. But still, it's no laughing matter. Old mate shouldn't have been laughing.
Well, see, my penguin story was totally different to that, and it was much shorter, and it was happier.
Okay. Well, what's your penguin story?
Well, a museum let a group of penguins wander around. They went a little day trip from the zoo. Right? And they couldn't take their eyes off the paintings because they're little aficionados and all that. Aficionados.
Yeah, I get it.
You see what I did there? It was at Kansas City Zoo and they had a good time. Apparently they got back on the bus and all they could talk about was their, you know, Machiavellis and, do you like Michelangelo? Oh, what about that cheeky one where he's got the little peen and everything on show? And, you know, they're talking about all that.
Were they flapping their little wings?
They're loving it. They go back again, I reckon.
Don't. The one to get up. A fresh way to get up. Christy and Budge on Hit FM.
Information that was fake and never happened.
I can't believe it.
Fake news.
With Lee Jollo.
Okay, Lee Jollo's walked in. He's got three stories under his belt. He's got his holsters ready to go. Lee Jollo, you got three stories, all of them quite ambitious. Two of them are real, one of them's fake.
That's right. That's the name of the game in terms of fake news.
Are you feeling confident, though?
Ah.
look, it's going to be an interesting one. You've actually got me the last couple of weeks, I think, but it's still really close on points.
I know. You're still only on 3 points, though, Bodge.
Here. Yeah, let's get into it. First story, please, Lee.
Okay, so a pub in the UK has been busted operating illegally against the rules under the current COVID restrictions. Okay. Tipped off by an anonymous source, Sheffield police swooped in and were shocked to find several people enjoying a brew. A number of them were also hiding in the cupboard. It's not the first time the pub's been caught out either, having even been served a prohibition order previously before.
Wow, okay. Story number two, please.
Moving on. And a police helicopter in Los Angeles has come down for an unusual reason. A deadly rattlesnake emerged from under a seat while cruising at 10,000 feet. The worst of all was the pilot had a phobia of snakes. After the reptile became aggressive, the co-pilot was able to help guide the chopper to a school sports field. Fortunately, they touched down without further incident. It's uncertain how the snake got on board.
Okay.
They get in cars.
Story number three, please, Lee.
And in Canada, a man's been shocked to finally receive a package he'd ordered 8 years earlier. Elliot Berenstein had the delivery come straight to his door. Inside was the man's hairstyling product and an invoice dated for 2012. For the record, the man opted to not use the cream in the package, saying it came out a bright yellow colour rather than the white it was supposed to be.
Okay, there we go. So we got, we've got punters in the cupboard. We've got snakes on a helicopter.
That's right.
And we've got the post is, it's very late.
Late delivery.
8 years
absolutely.
Late.
Yeah. Eight years late.
I mean, I know the post is late, but come on, mate.
Yeah.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to get you to count us down 3, 2, 1, and we're going to pick story A, B, or C. Christy, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling confident.
Okay.
Confident.
Let's do it.
Okay. Talk's the talk. Let's see if you can walk the walk. 3, 2, 1.
B. We always pick the same.
Do you know what? I think that Christy knows that this is B, like I know this is B, because I saw the article about the late post, and I thought, I didn't even click it, I didn't even read it, but I'm pretty sure that's an article.
And A, about the guys in the cupboard, in a pub. We spoke about that on air. Sorry, Lee.
Well, I'm in trouble, aren't
so
I?
So we had a 50-50 shot here. Oh,
Can't even make it up that you've got it wrong. Look, you're right, it's B.
We're not even going to build it up. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Wow, so that's an extra point to you and I, Christy. What are the standings at the moment?
Yeah, well, Lee and I are both on 7, so you normally get a point, Lee, if neither Bodge and I get it. Bodge and I get it, but... Yeah, Bodgie, you're now on 4.
There you go. See, I told you, dropping back for a more dramatic victory. Beginning of the year, I was getting laughed at. It was only this month that I started, or I think it was last month, actually.
Yeah.
So I got my first point.
Oh, man.
I said, wait, it's a long game. It's a long year.
Lee,
and we're not even halfway through it yet.
You need to pick up your game, Lee.
Enough to dig deeper into the depths of the internet where you guys can't access.
Hit FM with Christy and Varge.
A fresh way to get up.
On your radio.
I was reminded, Facebook memories is a beautiful thing. It's also a cringeworthy thing at times. It reminds you of what you've done in the past.
Oh, your stupidity.
And if you're a single person, you don't need a spouse to remind you of all your mistakes because you've got Facebook memories.
The worst wife for you, isn't it?
Well, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
What have you done?
About 9 years ago,
yep.
I was in Vegas. And you'd think that would be the worst thing. Like, you know, anything that's happened in Vegas, like, oh, if there's pictures of it, I don't want to know. Some bad stuff happened there. But we're going back a little bit further to my 21st birthday. So we're going back 10 years.
Oh, wild
21st birthday. Mum makes me a little cake. I go see my nan and pop and whatever else. And then I go, yep, cool, I'm going to go home now. Go home, and then I get a call from workmates saying, come out for like dinner. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll come out for dinner. Everyone from work's there. It's a surprise. It's nice. It's great. We have a few drinks of lots of different things. Someone slipped me. Someone slipped me something. And this is absolutely true.
Why would you need to do that?
I know. It was terrible. And they were excommunicado, if you like, after that happened. And it was interesting because what happened next I can only really describe as a visit to Trip Out City, if you like. So I don't recall too much of what happened. However, the next morning was very interesting because – The next morning, I woke up with a shattered watch, which was very similar to the one I just got for my birthday.
Hang on, was it an expensive watch?
I couldn't tell. I'm not an evaluer. I also woke up with a traffic cone, which is pretty standard.
A witch's hat?
Yep. And then also I woke up with a what I knew as a drop box. Now, a drop box is a big box that sits underneath a pokey machine. And in South Australia, you can't put notes into the pokey machine. You have to put coins in. So you have to exchange your notes via one of the machines or go up to the cashier to get coins. So these things are normally full, chock-a-block of dollar coins.
You stole from a pokey machine.
Well, no, I didn't steal from a pokey machine. But I worked in the industry, so I knew what it was.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, how did I get this? What has happened here? So I left it. I thought, all right, I've woken up. I've got to go to the cricket now, because the cricket was on in Adelaide. It was the Ashes. Kevin Peterson hit 200 runs. Australia lost. It was devastating, but it was still a good day, even though I threw up a lot in the toilets. I had to retrace my steps. It turns out I'd found the shattered watch on the floor and said, I can fix this. Mm. I was determined and I was very, very confident to all my friends that I could fix it, even though I've never worked with watches before and it was totally shattered. So that's why I had cuts all over my hand, because it was shattered. The witch's hat, the traffic cone, still don't know where I found that.
Yep.
Someone said it was already in the cab when I was put in the cab. The cab didn't want to take me because of how bad I was. So one of my friends, Mel, who worked at a pub in the city, gave me the drop box in case I needed to use it, because it was a box
for
container.
First
few, yeah, okay. I've made that point without having to say it. Thank you. So I go home. And I wake up with all of this in the bed and I'm wondering what's going on, obviously. But now I've retraced my steps and I've worked it all out. But imagine the whole day I'm trying to work out where did all this stuff come from. So 13, 12, 16, if you've got any stories of strange items you've woken up with after a big night out, now is the time to tell us. Christy, have you got any?
Nothing in comparison to that. Did you find a tiger in the bathroom?
I told you no tigers were involved.
Get up with Christy and Bodge on the Mid-North Coast, Hit FM.
Christy, you know what? No one bit at that one. I put the call out, 13, 12, 16. What strange item or items have you woken up with after a big night out? I thought on the Mid-North Coast, I'd get a couple of rowdy ones that go, I've woken up with this after a big night out. But no. Bunch of boring people on the Mid-North Coast, apparently, that haven't got any stories or couldn't be bothered to call.
No, I'd say that they're way too rowdy to share here.
Lame.
With little ears listening. No, and look, I'm pretty lame too when it comes to my own stories. I haven't got anything extravagant to share other than a most recent one where I've had too many. But what I did wake up with was something pretty innocent, which I think a lot of people probably have. After passing out in my own walk-in wardrobe.
Mm. Are you both? That's what?
Yeah, passed out of my own walk-in
wardrobe. How does that happen? Your bed's right next to it.
Apparently I must have been in tears hanging out in there, and then someone found me and then picked me up and put me into bed.
Hang on, there's a story there that...
I don't know the story because I don't recall.
Six-drink Christy came out of her shell.
Yeah, and I wake up the next morning and I'm still in my jumpsuit, which girls know is a full outfit from the bottom all the way to the top, and it's a zip at the back.
Oh, believe me, I know.
So you have to take the whole kit off when you go to the bathroom. But anyway... wake up with that and I take it off going, gosh, how am I still in my outfit? Look down and all these chips, potato chips, are falling out of my bra. Like, right, I was clearly eating and they've all fallen in and I've been asleep with potato chips in my outfit.
But food is a good one, though. Mm. Food is a good one. Like, I've woken up with that. This wasn't even after a big night. This was a couple of days ago. I've been getting on the cheese train lately, cheese and dip and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because it's not overly expensive and I can substitute a meal just for a little bit of cheese. So what I've been doing is in bed, what I'll do is I'll have myself a little plate and I'll have some cheese on there, have a little bit of dip. In fact, I had three different dips. I had some hummus, I had like a basil and pesto one, and I had my favourite, the beetroot dip.
Yep.
And I had a whole load of these little biscuits. And also I had a jar of corn relish and a jar of pickle relish. And I know there's a bit more.
I feel
more,
like you
actually
need to stop there with the amount.
It was a big deal. And I thought, you know what? I treat myself. But what I did was I put most of it back in the fridge and woke up the next morning and I was like, what is that? And I had brie smeared all over. Yeah, I know. Underneath my pillow.
Yep.
I was like, oh.
Just a little midnight snack.
Oh, I had to wash everything. I was like, oh, that doesn't look good. And everyone walk in there and if they saw that, just smeared brie, they'd go, oh, what's Bodge been up to?
That takes finding cheese in your bed to a new level,
Jeepers,
doesn't it?
Come on.
Get up with Christy and Bodge on the Mid-North Coast's hit.
NRL came back last night, Christy. Very happy about that. I don't even watch the sport normally. However, I do believe it is the only contact sport that is playing in the world. The newspaper definitely said so.
Yeah, it's back in action.
It's the new world game, apparently.
Well, as we know, even before we went into COVID-19, NRL was finished for the, 60 days or so, they had no people in the crowds in the stadium. It was an empty stadium.
Sounded really weird and hollow, and you could hear them all talking and grunting and panting. Some people enjoy it.
You kind of expected that to be the thing that happened last night. But no, I remember sitting there and I was kind of playing on my phone while the Broncos and Eels were playing in the background. And I'm like, oh, it's great. We're allowed people in the stadium now, because you could hear all this uproar and all the boos and everything.
Especially when Parramatta got the ball. A lot of boos then.
The DJ, I'm sure of it, thought that they were good. And that's the thing. A DJ was playing crowd sound
effects.
Was
it a DJ?
Well, that's what I think it would be, because the DJ plays the music. So they're putting out the music as they would in between they getting tries, naturally like what they do in a normal game. Oh, and then you hear the crowd sound effects being played as well, just so the players felt like it was the norm with people watching them.
They didn't just do that for TV. Like, there wasn't like a producer behind the scenes. It was actually played
in
the stadium.
It was for the players. So they didn't hear themselves panting, because they complained that last time they played, it was too hard for them and it was putting them off.
I mean, I don't like hearing myself panting. It puts me off and it ruins the mood. But
it sounded so legit, though.
Yeah, well, we got a little clip of it, actually.
It's Wide World of Sports. And we're back. It's been 67 days. Welcome back, Rugby League. We've missed you. Croft throws a dummy. Goes straight through Brodie Croft. Looking for support. Doesn't need it. Pins the ears back for the corner.
Oh, mate, I just miss a good call. I miss a good call.
Oh, actually, speaking of that, it was the first time, too, that they've gone back to just one referee, and there was a lot of wrong calls going there where you'd see too many forward passes and claiming that there was a knock-on when it wasn't. So ask my partner, Michael. There's a lot of swearing going on last night.
Yeah, but he's
a Broncos wasn't
supporter.
Winning.
Yeah, so of course,
yeah, they got flogged 34-6.
You're telling me there was a lot of wrong calls from the biased family atmosphere of a Broncos home, and I think that if you asked any Eels supporters, they'd go, just anyone that's not a Queenslander, they'll probably go, yeah, I think the Broncos there was nothing taken away from them. I think they were just crap.
Back to the sound effects, though. If this DJ was the one that was in control of playing out the effects, that takes his job to a whole new level, because he's got to really pay attention to what's going on, because you don't want to accidentally play a boo while they're about to play a ball or something like that.
Well,
so
you'd need amazing vision. Like the commentators in their box, a lot of them have different screens. They've got binoculars, some of them, if they prefer that. But with the DJs, they're set up there with all their music and stuff. And I dare say they probably wouldn't have too much in the way of visuals. So I don't know if it'd be a hard gig. You know what I mean?
It would be hard, pressing all those buttons.
Well, I know exactly how they feel. I know exactly how they feel. I've got all these buttons.
Should we have like a laugh to take us out or something to make it?
No, but you know, the best thing to do
a bit better?
No, what I do is I just play backing tracks of different things. So I got a little, the sexy music and all that sort of stuff.
If
I feel like, you know, maybe I just want, you know, the suction to come back, or, you know, some conspiracy music, you know. Oh, Peter Volandis, wanted one referee to destroy the game, conspiracy, all that. Or maybe if you tell any joke.
I ain't got no jokes. You're the joke man.
Still, that's what I would have played anyway. So it's very quick, very easy to do. He probably had a whale of a time doing it, but the DJs or whoever's doing it needs to get paid a little bit more, because it is going to happen all season.
Get up with Christy and Budge on the Mid-North Coast's Hit FM.
Now, this conversation might be a very difficult topic for some people, Budge, but today is White Wreath Day, a day where We're to wear white for awareness about mental health and take action against suicide.
Yeah, I didn't know it was a day. Can I be honest with you and say I didn't know it was a day?
Yeah, well, we're encouraged to wear white to think of those that have fallen to suicide. And Justin Wilbur, who's the son of a Vietnam War vet, we've had him on the show before. You might remember him as the brains behind Driveways at Dawn, where we spoke to him about the new way of how we could be part of the Dawn services for Anzac Day. And he joins us this morning because Justin is a volunteer with multiple suicide prevention organisations. Good morning.
Good morning, team. How are we?
Doing really well.
Now, when you know someone that you know has attempted suicide, suffered from severe depression or is affected by mental illness, the last thing you want to know is that you've got to cope alone. But that's what today is about knowing that you aren't alone.
That's exactly right. You're not alone. As sad as it is to say, suicide is the leading cause of death for 15 to 44-year-olds. I've been recently quoted as saying that if we measured suicide in the way that we do COVID, we would see a significant change in that particular space. In 2017, and I use that particular year because of coronial inquests and such not being closed yet, but in 2017, Australia lost 3,128 people to suicide. Mm. On average, 135 people are affected for every person lost to suicide.
Yeah.
So when you extrapolate that, we're looking at more than 400,000 people that have been affected. It really is, not to make a joke or anything, but it really is the true pandemic that we should be addressing.
And you're so comfortable to speak about your own past and troubles. What was it that made you so comfortable to speak out?
I lost my sister to suicide in
2003. Oh, my God.
And I've had a lifetime of mental health up and downs. And one of the things we do know about suicide is it's not necessarily mental illness that leads somebody to that decision. Obviously, at the time that they take their life, they're not in a mentally well space, but it's largely the large contributors are actually situational distresses. And that could be things like relationship breakdowns, financial trouble, family court problems, and a slew of other things. It is a complex space, but the vast majority of people who do take their life haven't been diagnosed or pre-diagnosed with a mental illness. My personal space, I have a triple diagnosis, if you like, of major depressive disorder, anxiety disorder, and complex post-traumatic stress.
Yep.
But I'm very happy to talk about my experience because I believe that storytelling and sharing of your experiences is really the way that we learn best.
How else did you turn your life around? What was it that helped you be the man that you are today? Because you do dip your toes into a lot of things and you're out there to try and help other people.
Actually been a big part of my journey towards recovery has been looking outside of myself and at the broader world around me and trying to make a change and make things better for others also makes things better for me. Things like the Anzac Day program that we ran, the Driveway at Dawn, that was also geared towards connecting communities, connecting people when they couldn't be connected, giving them a bit of a distraction from the whole COVID lockdown. Just that something really simple, and it can be really simple things that actually make our lives a little bit better. So when I had my major breakdown 2.5 years ago, about 12 months ago, I bought myself a dog. I got myself a puppy because I knew that by getting a puppy, I would have to walk him and socialize him and take care of his nutrition. And by getting a pup, not only do I get the unconditional love of a beautiful little American bulldog here, I have to take care of him and therefore I take care of myself. And that's been a central part of my improvement.
I think dogs are the greatest thing of all time. I love cats, I love other animals, but dogs, doesn't matter how bad of a day you've had, no matter what's happened, the dog's still going to lick your hand and say hello and think you're the best thing in the whole world. So even just having a dog there just for people to run their fingers through while they're just sitting there, they open up more. And today's all about, I guess, coming through the other side to help other people, so talk about it. And it's hard to do.
It is. It's not an easy conversation to have.
No.
And that's what today, White Wreath Day, is all about, is to create more awareness about mental health. And a big thank you to Justin Wilbur, who's also sharing his story. And is there events that are being held? How can we get involved in it?
Normally on a White Wreath Day, we see events being run around the country where people can lay wreaths, bring a photo of their loved one that they've lost to suicide. And naturally, those events can't take place at the moment. A simple an easy workaround of wearing white to work.
Nice.
Or wearing white at home if you happen to be working from home still.
Hey, look, thank you so much for joining us again. And really is an important day, and we're glad we could get you on to tell your story.
More than happy to share my story anytime. I encourage people to jump onto Google, search for suicide prevention training. There are a number of different online courses that you can do, as well as community-led face-to-face training courses, or at the moment probably Zoom, and they give you some really tangible skills that you can use to have a conversation with somebody that you're concerned about.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
The Mid-North Coast Gets Up with Christy and Barge.
On Hit FM.
Let's cut to it, Christy. Why did you have to run downstairs just now? Why don't you tell the whole Mid-North Coast of the silly thing you did?
Oh, it's not anything I did. It's my stupid boyfriend, Michael. I get a text message saying, I think I left my coffee cups on the front of Grandpa. Grandpa being our four-wheel drive, our touring rig.
Right.
I'm like, you're kidding me.
So cups, plural.
Yes, cups. Yep. Not just a cup, cups. And that's because when he gets home, he's got to walk past the four-wheel drive that I drive, and he's obviously put it down to take his shoes off. I'm like, no, it would have fallen off as I drove out the driveway.
I would have
thought so. It's got a steep driveway.
Yeah.
I ran down there.
And they're still
legit.
There.
Two of the coffee cups were still sitting perfectly perched there on the bull bar. But no idea how on earth they stayed there. I've already shared the video on my own Facebook page, and people are saying it's because it's a slow old rig. That's why it stayed there.
Well, the other thing is they weren't standing upright. These mugs weren't standing upright.
No.
They were laying down.
They were laying down.
How do they not fall off?
I don't know. It must be some sort of science that keeps them upright.
Why didn't he use another one? Why does he have to use that?
Well, these are two new ones that he just bought. Expensive coffee cups, by the way. If people buy those camping gear called Yeti, they'd know how
Never
much a coffee cup goes for.
What?
They're about $40. They're stainless steel, and they keep
40?
They keep your coffee really hot for like the whole day.
It's a thermos.
Well, not just a thermos. If you put ice cold water in there, it'll stay cold for the entire day as well.
For the entire day.
Yes, I'm not joking. They're good gear, but he could have lost that, and someone else would have picked it up on the side of a road.
Well, that's kind of on him.
Yeah.
I think it's not on you, but it was very funny to watch you run downstairs cackling like a witch.
Since when do they ever stay on cars? I don't know.
Hey, look, next up, we are going to have a debate, a big debate. It's going to be a mass debate. So what we're going to do is talk about, I went for a drive to Foster the other day. It was pouring with rain, but it doesn't matter. I was driving past a lot of areas, and I thought, you know what? If I didn't have to live in Port for work, my God, I would live anywhere else on the Mid-North Coast.
Anywhere on the Mid-North Coast,
it's
stunning.
Exactly. It's Port. No disrespect if you live in Port and you love your Port Macquarie, but if I had a choice for where I would live on the Mid-North Coast, and I've made a list, it wouldn't Port Macquarie wouldn't make the top 10. Places I would live on the Mid-North Coast.
That's a big call, considering it's a hub.
Well, I don't care. See, that doesn't mean anything to me.
There you go.
It doesn't mean anything to me. I can travel here. It takes me 10 minutes. I realised that. I went to Wauchope the other day, pick up a meat tray, and it took me 10 minutes. And I thought, God, I could live out here, and I could drive to work, and it'd be fine.
I'm sorry.
No dramas.
Wauchope to Port Macquarie is not that far anyway.
I know,
you sound like you've been a local that complains, I don't want to go into town.
But see, this is the thing. When you live somewhere for so long, You start to feel like everything else is too much work. You know, it's too far or whatever else, because that's sort of all that's around. 13, 12, 16, I am going to release my list of the top 10 suburbs that I would live. So I'm calling them the top 10 suburbs to live in on the Mid-North Coast. That is coming up very shortly. If you've got a suburb or a place you think that I should add to that list before it's released, it's in flux, Christy. I may change it. You never know. Give us a call. Tell us why. We want reasoning.
The one to get up. A fresh way to get up. Christy and Barge on Hit FM.
The top 10 places to live. Number 10, Vala Beach.
Not bad.
Yep. You think that belongs on there?
Right. Yeah.
Number 9, Harrington.
Oh.
Now,
they have a good pub there.
We went there. You and I went there. But I think it's because it's a new area, and I think I'd feel kind of sort of separate enough in between sort of Taree and Port. You know, it's that sort of that middle area that I like. And the water looks good. You get a view of the Manning and all that. Number 8, I've put Southwest Rocks.
Oh, you've put that pretty low in my eyes.
See, it's a tough list to make. It is a tough list. And if you disagree with it, that's fine. 13, 12, 16 is our number. Number 7, Dunbogan.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
I like Dunbogan in the Camden Haven because it's that quiet little corner bit. You go over the bridge after Laurieton. You're still close enough to Laurieton to enjoy Laurieton.
Yeah.
But you're in the Dunbogan area. All right. Number six, Bellingen.
Oh, yeah.
Bellingen. Yep. All right. It's not just because of their smoked salmon either. All their pies is just beautiful. And there's lots of little nooks and crannies around the area that you can go and enjoy. I love Bellingen on my way up to Coffs when I go there. That was number six. Number five, tough one here.
All right.
Tough one. So I've put, and this might be a little bit strange, but I've put Papinburra and I've put Bromben. Now
I know why.
I've put them both in the same. I know they're kind of they're near each other, but they're not the same area. But I've sort of put the little slash there. So Papinburra / Bromben, because in my eyes, that is where I would retire. One of our workmates here, we stayed at her place in Bromben, and the view of Bago Bluff in the morning was breathtaking.
So stunning.
I've driven around Papinburra quite a lot just for a bit of mental health, just to drive around and just enjoy.
And it's so peaceful and quiet.
It's just the serenity. Mm. The serenity. All right. Number four, Sawtell.
Mm, really?
I've put Sawtell on the list.
I just like the Sawtell beaches. That's about it.
Well, I just like the way it's set out. There's a lot of al fresco dining.
Yeah. That's high up there, though.
It is, and that was number four.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number three, Bonnie Hills.
Yeah.
Bonnie Hills. Now, I like Bonnie Hills because I like Rainbow Beach. I've always wanted a place just above to look over that, but there's not a lot there, so it's just residential. You go there, but it's beach only. You know what I mean? There's nobody there to annoy me. This is basically what the list comprises of. It's a list of places where people can't come and annoy me. All my favourite places. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're places you get away from.
There's no common theme, though, with your choices. You would have thought that you would pick all the coastal ones in one, like, swoop, like the top five, and then maybe the hinterland as the bottom five, but you've kind of just staggered it. I've noticed that.
I have staggered, but it's down to personal experience. Mm. And if you disagree, like I say, 13, 12, 16. This is a free country. You can call up any time you wish.
All right, get to your top one.
That's number three. What do you think might make the list for two and one?
I'll ruin it if I say what number one is because I know what it's going to be.
You know what number one's going to be. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Tell me what you think will make the top two then, the second one.
I'm going to say number two will be Crescent Head.
You think Crescent Head's going to be number two?
Uh-huh. How clever am I to pick it?
You're right. You know me very well.
I know where you like to travel. I pay attention.
And the number one spot on the Mid-North Coast, this is the number one place on the Mid-North Coast. Go on, Christy, give it to us.
Comboyne.
I love Comboyne. There's something about the rich volcanic soil. It's beautiful. A lot of green. It's just great. I like going getting those massive pies from the shop. It does come down to pies sometimes. But
of course.
I tell you right now, Comboyne is my favourite place in the Mid-North Coast, and that's why it tops my list.
Hit FM with Christy and Varge.
A fresh way to get up.
On your radio.
No fallout so far on the list of the top 10 places on the Mid-North Coast.
Do you know why that is, though?
Because it was a perfect list.
No, because you can't get it wrong. No matter where you put something on a top 10 list,
you can.
It's still going to be right because anywhere on the Mid-North Coast is good.
Oh, don't play that card.
Oh, don't be silly.
Don't
it's
try
true.
And make everyone happy. I couldn't give stuff
you
if I
annoy
someone.
You were trying to get people to call up and go, I can't believe you didn't put Warhope in there. Oh, you didn't put Pomacori in there. Oh, you didn't put Laurieton in there.
Actually, do you know, recently I'm spending more time in Warhope than I am in Port.
It's because you keep winning meat days.
It's true. We'll talk about that very shortly, actually. But you might have seen on Facebook last night, by the way, I put a video up.
Oh, yes.
A video up. I don't know why I subjected myself to this torture, but my housemate, Lauren, has this device that I've been looking at. It's one of the, and I remember it because Mum used to have one as well. She probably still does. It's like a tweezering machine.
Oh, yes.
It rolls, you turn it on, and it sounds like a drill, and it goes in a circle, and it tweezes like a million miles an hour.
It plucks the hairs as it goes along. And that was one of those things that my mum used to spend hours trying to shave her legs with. Well, not shave, pluck the hairs.
Yeah, yeah. I think
and
a lot of women do use
it.
And I've discovered why. Now, I tried it on my foot. And when I say I tried it, I was kind of held down.
On your little hobbit feet.
On my hobbit feet.
Are they now silky smooth thanks to the epilator?
He's called an epilator. Yeah, absolutely. So they are silky smooth, both of them. One foot was waxed. One had the epilator on it.
Mm.
And I wanted to know whether or not which one was more painful, but also which one gave the best results. And I did this experiment partially willingly. So some of it was under duress. I was held down after I kept struggling and crying and shouting. And I think I tried in the video, actually, you can hear me saying I was trying so hard. I've got the audio here, actually. Hang on, wait one sec. I've got it here. Where are we? There it is.
Sorry. Keep going. Oh, jeez. It's fine. Just do it. Hurry up and do it.
Oh. Ready?
Potatoes, chop of wood.
So I'm trying so hard not to swear that I say, for whatever reason, Geppetto's shop of wood. No idea why I said that.
Holy night.
How long does it stay on for?
Now we've moved to the waxing. That was the epilator.
Can you give me notice before you're going to rip
it? You can hear it in your voice. You're so worried.
I do. I want her to tell me.
All right, do you want me to do a countdown?
I want you to do a countdown, and then when you give me ready to give me the rip, just give me the rip, and then...
Aren't you glad you didn't know it was coming? Do you want me to get your toe as well?
I want you to leave my whole body alone.
It was pretty bad. I want you to leave my whole body alone. I've never been that much of a wuss before, except for when I tried threading. Now, let me tell you about which one I thought was better, believe it or not. I didn't think I'd come away with an actual review.
Mm.
The waxing, I think, hurt less because it was quick. It was over and done with.
Yeah.
However, it wasn't as effective in my eyes. I look at both my feet now and the skin, right?
Yeah.
It was a lot bumpier on top. I don't think it was as well done as the epilator. The epilator did hurt, but once it was gone, my foot was a lot smoother. So I understand why women go for the epilator. Mm-hmm. Yes, it hurts more, but it doesn't destroy your skin like a wax strip does.
Yeah, thanks for putting your feet on the line.
I did
give us this review, Bodge.
Well, that was two days ago. Last night, I'm sitting on the couch and I see the epilator there, and I thought, well, my feet are nice and bald.
Oh no,
no! But my toes weren't. So the bridge of my foot was fine, but it looked weird, and I thought, well, I better have this seeing to, and I did the toes. And then I was just looking at my feet. My housemate, Lauren, was sort of just watching me watch my feet. And I just came out with a sentence I never thought I'd say. I just said, my feet look like hands now.
So pretty.
And then I looked at them. I was like, hands aren't hairy. And now my feet aren't hairy. So what?
Now you just keep walking around with your shoes off going, look at my silky smooth feet.
They're so good to touch. I'm going to try the epilator on a few other places.
Don't.
If you want more of Christy and Budge, catch up on the podcast at hit.com.au or hear them live weekday mornings from 6 on the Mid-North Coast's Hit FM.